If everyone wants to get started and get your Bible set to Luke 8:18, that would be fantastic. Luke 8:18. I don't have a PowerPoint this evening, which is kind of funny since I'm in charge of that ministry, right? I should have some big flash presentation built up so it's got bells and whistles. Dalton likes those. He likes to put all those little animations in his PowerPoint. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. See, now I don't have to look all the way over there and all the way over there. I'd like to thank Pastor, of course, for giving me this opportunity. I thank the Lord for placing me here in this church. All of you who've come this evening, of course, I'd like to thank. And I come up here quite often, you know, during Sunday service to give the announcements, which you hear me fumble. I get dates wrong. I get baby weights wrong. I actually said a baby weighed 20 pounds one time if you weren't here. I have no idea what I was talking about. So as I wrote my message, I have to admit my memory isn't as good as it used to be. I used to, of course, the secular sense, I used to give seminars for sales training, and I used to have to memorize all those things. And I think just over the years, my mind has just become crumbled. So I have everything written down. And I'm going to go back and forth to that as much as possible, because if I didn't, of course, it would be nothing but chaos up here, just like the announcements. And of course, there's my verse for picking on myself, for God is not the author of confusion, and it would really be confusing if I tried to memorize everything there without, of course, his help. So my first verse, or my title tonight is Hear Ye, Hear Ye. And while I was doing my preparation for this title, I looked up the certain words, and of course we have that fantastic disc which is available in the office, which a gentleman by the last name of, or the first name of Rick, last name of Myers, I think is what his name is, but he's created a software program if you have a computer, and it's called eSword, and it allows you to look up all sorts of verses pretty quick. You can reference them, you can attach them right into your Word documents. It's fantastic. So I just did a search really quick. My title is Hear Ye, Hear Ye. And of course, I can't even spell hear, you know, in my document, so I'm laughing at myself right now. But the Bible actually mentions hear, so auditory hearing, in a total of 1,458 times. And then, of course, my message has to do with two things, hearing and the heart. And it mentions heart 2,863 times. And that's not, of course, including any versions of hear, like hearing, heart or hearts, or any of the variations of that word that would also be included. So those are just those exact words. What I've come to talk tonight about is God's Word, how at times when we're here and we're listening to pastors preaching, that there will be moments where I am as tuned in, that my heart is right on, that I hear everything he's saying, and it's like a laser beam. You know, you just, the Holy Spirit is revealing the information to you, and you just suck it all in, and you just hear all those truths, and you use them. And then there's other times that I'm here, and I'm sure a lot of us can get that way, where I come, and it's after work or something, and I listen to a sermon, and I every once in a while I click in and I hear something, and I'm right on top of it. But then right afterwards, I start daydreaming, going in the other direction. Now, it may be related to what Pastor's talking about, but it has nothing to do with what he's talking about. I'm off on another verse, or I'm off on something else altogether in the worldly sense. And so I'm sure if we all think about that, we can probably all notice that we've done that. You know, we've got where there's times where we're so tired that I've seen people actually fall asleep. You know, so we need to be focused on what the pastor is saying. Whoever's standing up here, which I don't feel I'm worthy, of course, to be standing here, what they're saying. So my topic is a personal one in that I want to be better used by God, that I hear his word better, hear his word in its fullness, and I take it and I use his word. And that I may be a better testimony, of course. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've come this evening. And Lord, we ask that that you would guide me, that you would use me as your vessel, that I know in myself I can do no good thing, Lord, that in myself I can't rightly present the word, Lord, that I pray that the Holy Spirit just work through me, help me deliver this message, and Lord, that somebody would be edified by what we're speaking about this evening. We pray, of course, that the pastor makes it home safely. We look forward to his return. And, of course, Lord, we ask that you bless all the men who've come and preached your word while he's been gone. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. My title is Hear Ye, Hear Ye. And my verse is Luke 8:18. So if we'd all stand, and we'll read that. Let's get your Bibles there. I'm sure everybody's pretty close. Luke 8:18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You may be seated. I did some studying on this, and it was the verse that came to mind. Of course, my verse or my topic here, my sermon tonight was, I believe, brought to me by the Holy Spirit, just like Brian Petro. And I think mine comes close from home and my family life and my children and my relationship with others, my relationship with God. And so I did some research on this verse, and I sort of got a little synopsis here going on, a little JIV version of what's being said. And what Luke is talking about is he's telling us not to be careless or negligent with God's word when we are hearing it. And I think that's what I was doing, or that's what I've done. That we are to take in the truths and the doctrines we hear and to preach them to others. And of course, do I always do that? Do we always do that? Probably not. We should. And to use the gifts that God has given us. And when we do this, God will give us more knowledge and increase those gifts. However, when we don't have spiritual knowledge, yet we may think we do, he will take away the knowledge that we do have, those gifts, and then he'll leave us to our own devices. So, what are we supposed to be doing when someone is preaching? Besides me, of course, you can go ahead and sleep. What are we supposed to be doing when someone is preaching? We certainly shouldn't be writing checks. We certainly shouldn't be writing notes, passing them around. We certainly shouldn't be having conversation one with another, sleeping, daydreaming, any of those kinds of things. We should really be tuned into the Word. So obviously we should hear all of God's Word while it's being preached. So what is the real definition of hear? That's hear with our ear. And hearing is, of course, to perceive or apprehend by the ear. And this is from Noah Webster. To gain of knowledge by hearing, to listen to with attention, and to give legal hearing to take testimony from. Now, that last definition, of course, is great. It's a great, great definition, of course, for a salvation message. People need to hear God's word and take his testimony. But I think tonight we would probably be better off with the first three, to perceive or apprehend by the ear, to gain knowledge of by hearing, and to listen to with attention. So what do we do with information after we hear it? We use it, we modify it, we take it, we discard it, we make it our own. However, with God's word and his truths, we're not to take or change anything. We're not to analyze it and filter it. We're not to throw anything away, we're to use it all. In 2 Timothy 3:16 it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." However, we must take all that we hear, all the preaching we hear, all of God's word, and we must use it for his glory. James wrote to the Jewish Christians about this in James 1:18, and in 1:18 it starts off with, "Of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Slow to wrath is a very interesting thing to put. It's a very interesting verse. At the end there, slow to wrath, of course, when we hear preaching, we shouldn't condemn the preacher. We should, of course, take every truth that's there, absorb it, and use it. So whether or not we like what's being said, if it's a truth from God, it's something we should be using. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart all the filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Of course, at the end of this little section here, there's a clincher in James 1:22, which you probably all know this verse by heart. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what are we supposed to do? Hear and follow God's words. Don't just sit and listen. Don't deceive yourselves. James goes on further to say that, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Don't be a poor testimony. Don't be a counterfeit Christian. Use what you hear. God created our ears. Every single one of us has God-created ears. The outer part of our ear is used to catch sound. Of course, there's little bones on the inside. What is it? The stirrup, anvil, and the hammer. There's the cochlea, all the different fluids that are in there, and little hairs. And those little hairs take all that information, those vibrations, the electrical impulses, all those things that God created and interprets that as sound, and our mind formulates what we hear. God created our ears for His plan. For His plan for life and His plan for salvation. He created our ears to hear His word and to communicate with us. God tells us in the story of creation that He spoke with Adam, and Adam audibly heard His word. In Genesis 2:16 it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." And then after the fall, Genesis 3:9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." For thousands of years before we had the printing press, verbal deliverance of God's word was the only way, or the major way, a person could hear a message about salvation. And it's still the way God wants His message delivered. In Romans 10:14 it says, "How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher?" God wants preachers to deliver His message. Not movies, not websites, not video games, not passion plays, not billboards, and not emails. He wants preachers to deliver His message. The fact is that hearing isn't the only piece of our puzzle tonight, because if it were, then all we would have to do is come in here, sit, and like a battery, get a spiritual recharge. However, sometimes our batteries are like real batteries. They lose the ability to keep a charge. With real batteries, you just throw them out. With spiritual batteries, you get them fixed. For the unsaved heart, hearing doesn't always mean you get God's message. We all know that. Otherwise, we could just build platforms on our houses, or a big one here at church. We could put loudspeakers out, playing CDs 24 hours a day, the message of salvation, and people would automatically be saved after hearing God's message. In fact, to prove this, that it's not just by hearing, there were people who even spoke to Christ Himself, where He revealed Himself to them, and they still would not believe. Jesus spoke to those at the treasury in Jerusalem in John 8:28. Here it says, "Then He said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." And He spake these words, and many believed on Him. But if you open up your Bible to 8:30, you reread that, you'll notice that it says many. It doesn't say all in verse 30. Then in 8:31, He says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. However, to those who heard and did not believe," in 8:43 He says, "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? So he spoke to these people directly. You had God right there talking to them, and they still would not believe. They still could not understand. In 8:47, he says, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Now here's where they get angry. They get angry and now say he's possessed. In 8:48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? These Jews had no clue on what Christ was telling them. Though they could hear his word, they couldn't understand him. Their hearts were closed to his message. And then even though scribes and Pharisees had great knowledge of the Old Testament and had heard of the many miracles of Jesus, they had even spoken to him, they really couldn't hear him. Their hearts were closed to his message. In Mark 3:22 it says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." See, they got upset. And he is, they got upset and say he is the one who is of the devil. Yet Christ tells us who these people are in 8:44. In 8:44 he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and not in the father of it." These people couldn't hear because their hearts weren't opened. Do you know why people can sit in this room and hear a salvation message? Hear with the ears God designed to hear his word, his message, and not receive Christ? Because they are dead. But what does that actually mean, dead? It means that God has not regenerated them, and God has not changed their heart. In the parable of the sower, it describes these persons. In the first portion of Matthew 13:19, it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." Here is the hearer, hears the word outwardly. He neither cares, never fully comprehends the word, and is not concerned about what he has been told. His heart is still closed and hard. Now here's where it gets difficult. What about professing Christians who in all their acts as Christians come to church, get baptized, do all the outward things, sit in here, listen to God's word week after week, but eventually we see them, some of us, slip away. They never really get what's going on, and they eventually move back into his or her own unchanged life. But what about us? Do we really hear God's word? Are we really tuned in? Do we hear God? Does the Holy Spirit talk to us? Do we follow and recognize God's word, or do we pick and choose? Here's my key words. Do we have selective hearing? Do we have selective hearing? Because our hearts have become a little damaged. In the natural world, there are two kinds of selective hearing. The first is when someone is having a conversation with you, and sometime later, you have little or no recollection of this conversation. The second of one is where you start a conversation with a person, and they start off with preconceived ideas or assumptions before you start your conversation, and they completely misinterpret what you're saying. As a parent, it can be quite frustrating to speak to your child, or if you're my wife, where is she right there, and you're speaking to me. My son Gareth is a good example of how frustrating it can be. He can sit there and do something I don't want him to do. I can ask him more than once to stop, let's say throwing a toy or something. He'll stop and politely say, "Yes, sir." I think that's sometimes how we react to God's word. We will stop for that second and politely say, "Yes, sir." But do we really take in and do we really stop doing those things that he wants us to do? Or do we really start doing the things that he wants us to do? So this is great for Gareth, except he has no idea of what I'm telling him. And what does he do? He goes right back to doing it again. Now, for my wife, this is her portion. When it comes to my wife and she tells me to do something, which is quite often, and I even try to listen, the selective hearing kicks in. I forget half of what she says even before she says it. Now, this is predominantly a guy problem, a husband problem. However, ladies have selective hearing problems too. It just works a little different. In my research, I found a lady on the web who tells a story of a wife and her selective hearing. And it starts off with the lady having a bout or a problem with jalapeno peppers. And she ate, a large portion of them a few days before the story started. And she had damaged her esophagus. And so for the past 48 hours, she's been sick, hasn't been able to eat anything. However, now she's feeling better, and she's out with a drive with her husband. Now, as they're on this drive, she sees a billboard talking about a soon-to-be-held fest where they're going to have all sorts of fried food. I think of Dalton when I think of fried food, of course. She says to him, maybe it'd be kind of fun to go. And he says, you just got over being really sick. Now you're thinking of eating greasy food again? You know what she hears? She hears, you don't need to eat fattening foods if you actually want to fit into that dress you bought for the wedding next month. That's my example of wives and their selective hearing. In the spiritual world, there's also selective hearing. This person either hears God's word and ignores it, or doesn't get it and hates it. An unregenerate person hates God. John talks about that in 15:18. He says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And it's your heart that governs your will, your thoughts, your desires. In Romans 8:7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, if we all have our Bibles, we can turn to Mark 7:21, and I'll turn mine there too. Mark 7:21. I still hear pages turning. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. So from out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. From out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Mark goes on to list some of the evil things that proceed out of the hearts of men, and then in 7:23 finishes off with, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's the heart that governs our will. The unsaved heart doesn't even know what to do with a message from God. In fact, it hates the message. The message offends the hearer, or the hearer changes his message to his or her liking. Of course, I'm going to move off for a second, but we know this. We see it in the media. We see unsaved people speaking about God's word. We see it on the television. I don't care what station it is. I don't care what cable network it is. When they talk about God's word, they twist it to their liking. Sometimes when the message is given, it just falls away, because to the unsaved sinner, it's like hearing a foreign language. But what about our selective hearing when we sit here and listen? God's word's being preached, and do we follow along with the preacher? Do we take mental notes? You know, we have those little notepads there where we can take notes on that are in your handout. Do we write things down? Do we ask questions? Do we have a better understanding of God and of what He wants us to do? Do we desire to do those things? Do we really hear what we've been told, rejoice or repent? Hearing God's word should again be like tunnel vision. We should have laser-guided sights when we're hearing it. We should find ourselves being drawn in. Or do you throw in the occasional amen only to find yourself drifting off in another thought? Maybe about work. Maybe about the phone call you just had with your sister. Maybe the bills you pay. Listen to me, if you do that, you have selective spiritual hearing. And however you want to look at it, I'm sure God doesn't like it. Our selective spiritual hearing usually begins when God asks us to do something. We tend not to like to hear those things when we're not right with God. Some of those things are abstaining from the appearances of evil, abstaining from fleshly lusts, avoiding troublemakers, avoiding profane and vain babblings. What about your backsliding brother? Do you pray for him? What about awakening to righteousness? And what about those who need to be baptized? We should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Here's the tough one for a lot of us. We should be content with our wages. Be not hypocrites in prayer. Be not conformed to the world. Be not partakers with sinners. Beware. Beware of covetousness. Beware of hypocrisy. Do good to them that hate you. Do all to the glory of God. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Here's a tough one for a lot of us. Dalton mentioned this earlier. Submit one to another. Submit to God. Submit wives to your husbands. And the list goes on. If you need a refresher, just open up your Bible and start reading. You know the problem. We hardly even notice as we click in and out. The preaching is going on, yet we fully don't take in God's word. And this is His way to edify us, His edification for His children. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." But by the way, what is this edification that I'm hearing? And what does it do? Again, I went back to Noah Webster, and his definition of edification is this. Edification is a building up in a moral and a religious sense, instruction, improvement, and progress of the mind in knowledge, in morals, or in faith and holiness. And then what's great about Noah Webster, and it's an older book, this one's out of print, of course, it's all in Eastward, he says, "He that prophesieth speaketh to men to edification." So many of our worldly books remove Scripture, even if it's originally founded upon that. And then he goes on to say, "Instruction, improvement of the mind, and any species of useful knowledge." And all of God's Word is useful knowledge. So what happens to us when we don't get into God's Word? We become backslidden. And why aren't we into God's Word? Because we've slidden a little already. We've damaged our heart in some way, and so that now it's not in tune to God's full Word. And now your heart is not seeking after God's Word as it was. If we let this go too far, we will stop living by God's Word. We will start selecting, like those in the world, what we like and what we don't like from God's Word. We stop hearing because our heart starts leaning in the wrong direction, and we start pulling away from God. And that's where it all stops. We start to lose blessings. We stop being in favor with God. He will, of course, bring us back or bring us home. He's always in control. But wouldn't it be better to draw nigh? In James 4:8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." You get it? God will grant you with His presence. He will bless you with His grace. And wouldn't it be great to be so blessed? In my studies, I read a little bit in John Gill, and he comments on this verse by saying this, "And He, God, draws nigh to them by granting them His gracious presence, by communicating," that's our ears, "by communicating His love to them, by applying the blessings of His grace, by helping them in times of need and distress." Boy, I like how that sounds. "And by protecting them from their enemies, the contrary to which is expressed by standing afar off from them." As parents, most of us in this room are, we can think of times when our children do as we ask and learn from us, and desire to learn more from us, and are close to us, and we as parents want to do more for them. For when children act in this way, they honor us. In Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, then in thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." But shouldn't we also be honoring Christ, and in doing so, honoring the Father? This word that we have come to hear with our ears, is Christ Jesus. 1 John 1, we all know this verse. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In John 5:23, it tells His Son to honor, in John 5:23, it tells us to honor the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him." If a child does not, as we ask, and is rebellious, things get a little bad for that child. And in the Old Testament, they took being a bad child very serious. Deuteronomy 21:18, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice." So he won't hear. "He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil out away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." And if we as God's children get away from God, we lose blessings, His help, His fellowship with Him. So we need to hear God's word and do what we need to do to get our hearts right with God, so we can be doing work for the Lord. Again, in James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So how do we get our hearts right and be tuned in? By praying. That's what I notice. If I get out of praying, that's when I start slipping. By praying, asking God for forgiveness of our sins, submitting ourselves to the will of God, submitting ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit, let Him work on our hearing. Get into God's Word. Come and hear the preaching and get edified. David wrote in Psalm 119:36, "Incline my heart unto thy testimonies." Solomon wrote in Proverbs 2:1, which I noticed in Dalton's sermon, of course, at 11 o'clock, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," Proverbs 2:2, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Then he says in Proverbs 2:10, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Joyfully hear and follow God's commands and do work for the Lord and receive His blessings. So the next time you're here at service, make sure your heart is in the right condition to hear God's message, the message of His Son, Jesus Christ. If any of you are here and not saved, you too can receive the message of the Lord. You too can receive His blessings. I pray that the Holy Spirit opens your heart and you call upon the name of Jesus to save you. Repent of your sins and be saved. Be part of the family of God and not spend eternity in hell. You can be a hearer and a doer also. And that's my message this evening. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for being my family members in Christ, this body of Christ. I love coming here, but this message is as much for me as it is for anyone else. I need to make sure my heart's always right with God, and I pray that you all do too. There are so many times that when I'm sitting in the rows back there, or I'm doing the PowerPoint message, that I get distracted. You'll notice it. It's when the screen doesn't change right away. We're not listening to what's being said up front there. But I also notice you all. I notice you all doing the things you do, not listening to the preacher. So I pray that you'll come into church next Wednesday or next Sunday, and your heart will be right. And then what you hear, you'll take and you'll use, and you'll do work for the Lord. Thank you.
Why don't we bow our heads just for a moment? Everyone.